Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, scumbags. This is the Scummy Mummies podcast with your hosts, Ellie Gibson and Helen Thorne.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne.
And it's me, Ellie Gibson.
Ellie, I'm so thrilled because back in the Scummy Mummy bosom is the wonderful, the fabulous Natalie Lee, a.k.a. Style Me Sunday. Hello.
Style Me Sunday. That's your theme tune, I've decided. How are you, Natalie?
I am really good. I am very good. I've had a lot happening recently, so hopefully that will give me a lot to talk about today. Mm. Yeah, really good.
Excellent, excellent. Because we just were sitting down wondering when the last time you were on the podcast. That was nearly 5 years ago.
It was.
That's outrageous. There's so much has happened. And we're going to obviously get into the nuts and the meat of it all.
But before we get into that, Helen Thorne.
Yes.
We need to talk about the elephant in the room. And that elephant looks like it's just been shopping at Sports Direct. That's right. I'm not talking about you being the elephant, by the way. It's a metaphor now.
Like, yeah, all right,
wrong.
All right.
But the last time you were on the podcast, Natty.
Yes.
I think you've done this. In fact, I think you've done this deliberately.
I
last
did.
Time you were on the podcast, we talked about me wearing jogging bottoms.
Yes.
This was in 2017.
Yeah.
You mocked, you scoffed.
I did.
You ripped out of me.
I did.
What are you wearing for us today, Natalie Lee? Describe your outfit.
Well, that is why I've worn this outfit. So, I'm wearing a body and slippers and some lilac jogging bottoms.
Jogging bottoms! Now who's an influencer? Now who's been influenced? Talk us through your damaging conversion. What's up? Was it lockdown? Was it just my wonderful fashion stylings? What changed you around?
The reason why I wore them today was because I think about that episode often and I'm like, Natalie, you sound like such a twat. No, honestly, very judgmental. I was a very different person 5 years ago. Now, I don't get out of joggers. I'm in them all the time. Obviously, lockdown did have a massive effect on not wanting to have anything that's got a button or a zip or
anything that constricted you.
Yes.
I just liked that the clothes grew with me. That's what I like. Leggings, oversized t-shirts,
elasticated. That's all you need.
So from judging to joggers, that's what you should have called your book.
You know, we all have to grow. We all have to be a twat sometimes.
Every day's a learning day, as Stephen would say.
I think people who say that they never judge other people are talking bullshit.
I think
we all judge each other all the time. And for me, because we're humans and that's what we do, and it's a question of what you do with that judgment. If you're typing it on the internet angrily at someone you've never met to hurt their feelings, then I think that's shitty. But if you're with friends who you know can enjoy the bants, I enjoyed our jogging bottom face-off. And now I'm enjoying the smug feeling of
being right.
But also, isn't that a great reflection on you, Natalie? You've come basically bearing your trousers at your friend, saying, "Listen, I was wrong." And I think that shows that you two have grown together then.
We have. I think if you can't be vulnerable, if you can't laugh at yourself, if you can't say, you know, I was a bit of an idiot sometimes, then, you know.
I wouldn't even say that, genuinely. I would say you are, and have always, as long as I've known you, at least, been someone who has opinions and says them.
It's very vocal about them.
Never in a mean or hurtful or malicious way, but in an honest and interesting way.
Although I do kind of remember suggesting that your sex life isn't good because you wore jogging joggers. Now, if that is not an absolute C-U-N-T, no, I don't know what is.
I think that's a very bold thing to say to Ellie. Very bold. Because there are two things that she loves very dearly. And I don't know which one
what,
more.
Shagging and joggers?
Yeah, she really
shagging
loves.
In joggers.
I actually have some joggers specifically for shagging. They're called shoggers. My shogging bottoms, I call them.
Do you have a Velcro or a zip, Ellie?
No. Even that, you see, Natalie, that, you know, again, being serious, that ended up being a gift because we have a little bit in our show now where we talk about, and it's a long, so I won't do the whole bit, but like there's a bit where I go, so I thought, oh, come on, Ellie, be sexy. So I went up to Pete and very sexily and very slowly, I undid the string on my jogging bottom. I was inspired by you and it always gets a huge
well,
laugh.
I know.
I'm glad I give you content.
You do. Yes. We'll take content from anyone. Absolutely.
So there you go. Shogging bottoms. Let's do a collab.
Oh, I would
shogging
love
bottoms.
That.
Sexy oh. jogging bottoms.
Shag me quick on the back.
Oh, yeah. Drop it down.
Just like one leg out. Yeah. Off we go. Oh. Put them back on. Oh, well, I'm glad. I feel like we've begun the podcast in a very positive way.
It's like an episode of Dr. Phil.
There's a lot of episodes about shagging and jogging bottoms.
Oh,
yes, you
yeah,
did a whole season.
Yeah,
on
that's
it.
His USP now.
Yeah. What are we supposed to be talking about?
We were mainly talking about how wonderful Natalie is, and then we'll swiftly move into her book. But I thought we'd warm up a bit.
I like just... that you say that those are two separate things. She's great, but the book's fucking awful.
I love you, Ellie Gibson. No, I wanted to do a little bit of a catch up because, you know, it has been 5 years since you've been on the podcast.
It
and obviously,
has.
When we first got to know you, there was very much a focus on clothes and identity and overall confidence. But now we've seen a new brilliant side of you where you've moved into more female pleasure and shedding shame. And obviously your book, which is called Feeling Myself, How I Shed My Shame to Find Sexual Freedom, and You Can Too. Wasn't just reading that off the cover, listener. But, but you know, as a friend and also as someone who admires you and looks up to you in what you do, it's been, you know, it felt like an amazing sort of awakening. And don't want to say everyone throws around journey and empowerment and all that sort of stuff, but it does feel like you know, so much more light is coming out of you. And that is a joy to watch as well.
Thank you. I feel it too. I do feel like a very, very different person to the person you met 5 years ago. And, you know, when I have like these shifts, I talk about the shifts after they've happened because in the process it's fucking brutal. But after, you know, I've processed it all and come to this new me, I'm going to share that with the world. And I think the kind of sexual shame and that the evolution I have made there was very important for me to talk about because like body confidence, after I had my children, I had a massive shift in how I thought about my body. The same with sex. I now view it very differently. I was brought up in a Catholic sort of school always and Irish mother and just had, there was no chat about sex or masturbation or orgasms. I didn't even know what fucking clitoris was, you know. So I have to share this with the world. And I like to talk about things that make people think. I like to, just give people some, I don't know, some material to go home with. And that sounds so patronising. But yes, this is my new kind of... This is my new material, and I'm really enjoying it.
So what is the shift then? But also, how did it start? Was there one incident or a catalyst, or you know, what was it that began the sort of this big change?
Oh, good. I think like it started with the whole body confidence thing. Started to feel myself again. Hey, you know, get the book title in there somewhere because I'm very brand minded like that. I started to feel good in my body again. Started to embrace my body. And then I feel like the other aspect of that was learning to touch myself, learning to become acquainted with my body. And that side of it, I didn't really talk about. And I feel like that is just, that was brought in as the last element of that whole body confidence. It's just basically a continuation on from that and just helping other women feel good.
She just slowly took off more and more clothes on the internet.
Well, I mean, Who doesn't love taking off their clothes and having pictures taken?
Oh, I do that most days. as well be. But what are, yeah, because we were part of one of the early Warrior Woman projects, from which you did a series of photo shoots with women, and you just said, be as naked as you like. And obviously, for those of you who don't know that, Ellie and I had photos taken of us with two baby bills, well, four between us, two for each nipple, on our nipple. And what do we have in front of our vaginas?
A bottle of gin.
And then we had a fish finger necklace.
You did.
And we looked spectacular. I mean, we might have to recreate it one of these days.
I think you should. Did the baby bills cover the nips?
Just about. What I did was I sort of pierced them with my nipples because, you know, I've breastfed two babies, so they are basically like little sticky out.
They're like coat hooks.
But what we were surprised at is how good fucking Ellie's tits are, weren't we? Two kids.
They still are, goddammit. And mine, because I've lost some weight, turned into like two little tiny tortillas, flatbreads, little like naans, basically two naans that I have to curl up and then put into some padded bras. So mine will just, they're basically flat now, which is fine. I'm okay with that. They used to be my assets,
and you sound absolutely fine.
I'm furious, actually. Absolutely fucking furious. I'm angry.
Get it out.
I'm angry about this. But anyway.
I'm sure tortillas are some people's thing, you know.
Are they anyone's thing? All right, well, we'll see. It's just the sound of flapping.
They're very big in Mexico.
It's just the gentle flaps on my skin. Oh, anyway,
I think they look marvellous. But, you know, that's a good point, though, isn't it? It's funny, we've all got a thing, I think, about our bodies that we're not... You know, I don't know if I always believe people, so I totally love every part of my body.
Oh, I think it's bullshit.
Yeah. I think, you know, for me, it's my tummy. I wish my tummy was flatter.
Really?
Yeah. No, look, it's just because I dress very well, Natalie. It's because I wear a lot of jogging bottoms.
No, I've seen you in a fucking gold suit. Catsuit.
No, perhaps not.
What are they made of? I was going to say lycra, but they're not, are they?
I don't know what they are. They smell very
held together
bad.
With sweat and hard work. God,
yeah, I think they're just,
bombed in your mouth.
Yeah, but equally, I've just decided to be okay with my tummy and also to be okay with the fact I'm not okay with it. Do you know what I mean? I could go around, I could look at myself in the mirror every day and go, I love my tummy, but I don't really. So,
And I think that's a very good sort of conclusion to come to, because I think there's this cycle at the moment in terms of body confidence of feeling bad about your body and then feeling bad that you feel bad about your body. Mm. And that's just a horrible little fucking loop to get involved in. And look, we live in a world that doesn't support us loving our bodies. So, you know, flat tummy is very unusual, I would say, for a woman of your age with two children.
Yeah.
And I think it's just, it's hard, isn't it? It's about learning to try and accept it, try and love it. But if you don't, what can you do about it anyway? I'm sure you've tried every single thing there is. And at some point, you just got to fucking get on with your life.
Yeah, you've just kind of got to go, well, this is it, really, isn't it? It's what we're doing. So
It doesn't stop you from doing everything you love. And you look fucking awesome all the time.
I do. And I've got great tits, as we've discussed.
Oh, my God, yes, your tits are so good.
And they steal the show anyway, so...
Oh, my God, they're so awesome. I'm very, very happy for you.
How do you feel, then? How do you feel about... Because can I ask, how old are you?
42.
42. I'm 44. How do you feel about ageing and all of that? I'm having a thing at the moment where my hair has started to go a bit grey, and I think I've decided not to... diet, and I know lots of people do, and that's fine, and that's up to them. But I think I'm just gonna let it go all grey.
Ooh.
Because it's going to anyway.
I think it looks awesome, though.
I think it does. You're going to be one of those really like sophisticated ladies with white hair.
I hope so. Yeah. Necking lots of Valium and drinking champagne at 9 a.m. That kind of old lady. I think you have to be rich and posh.
I think that's a bit more Diane Keaton. I like it. I like a silvery.
Yeah, I do.
And I think distinguished. Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk about that, especially because in light of lockdown, there were a lot of celebrities, and like I think Andy McDowell talked about it recently, and all those people who used to dye their hair and they just let it out, and they've really loved it because the silver fox kind of mentality with men has been sort of sexualized, but with women, it's like, oh no, you can't get old.
Yeah,
you have to look like an older lady that's sort of been ironed, but you still look old, you know, like, you know. And obviously having tweakments and facial stuff is great, but it's still a taboo thing, isn't it? You're not meant to age.
Definitely. I, you know, obviously I talk about sex a lot, and I also talk about looking at your vulva a lot. Well, one of the things I've noticed is that the underneath of my vulva is all white.
Oh,
all
wow.
of the hair, which is so weird.
Is it like when you cut a tree open, you can see how old it is by yes. counting the rings? Is it like that?
Speaking of rings.
But it looks like I have dyed the, like, you know, when you're...
Oh, like you bleached your arsehole and gone that bit further.
Yeah, it's just like... Why is it only white underneath?
Wait, so the triangle, I'm now using my hands to gesture. What, the triangle is what colour is the
pubis
triangle?
At the top yeah. when you're standing, the bit you can see is yeah. fairly, you know, black and dark
yeah.
as normal, well, not as my pubes were. And then the underneath is all white.
Like a
and
I'm like, oh. Like a badger. You're yes. like a badger down there.
Yes.
I love it.
It's like my
badger. Badger.
Very good.
You're very welcome.
I like that.
All the words. Me and my badger, the second book from Natalie Lee.
But in all honesty, growing older, it takes some sort of getting your head around a little bit. It does. I think one of the things I have noticed is the, you know, the lack of male attention as I've got older. And at first I was like, oh, I'm not sure about this. Why the fuck is no one, like, beeping their cars at me when I walk down? I mean, that used to happen when I was in my school uniform all the time.
Ooh, delightful.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, good.
But now not so much. And it took a while to get used to it because we do tend to, you know, I did anyway, my worth was about how attracted I was to the opposite sex, or how they found me attractive, and performing, and, you know, that took up a lot of my, you know, mental head space, and I had to get used to not having that attention anymore. And actually it's been really freeing, really liberating, because now I can just be a bit of a cunt, and I can be weird, and I can, like, and I don't have to suck in my stomach anymore. I don't have to pretend that I'm sexy. I mean, I'm just naturally sexy anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, it oozes out of you.
It does, doesn't it? Oh, oozing.
Gorgeous.
Like a flood.
But also, I think that's even sexier, because you do know when people are performing. You can see it, can't you? When there's almost a sexual performance to people. But when you don't care...
I don't know if I knew I was actually doing that.
But that's something we're taught, though, because we absorb sexuality through the media. We absorb it through imagery. And that's how we're taught, you know, that's... And as especially as females and in a heterosexual way, about how we perform and what is expected of us, and what do we do to get the man. And, you know, and that's something I'm kind of grappling with as well, you know, in my new state. But it's really interesting, you know, the roles that we play. And but I, you know, the more I think about it, you know, the women that I find really sexy are the ones who aren't,
don't give a fuck.
No,
yeah,
it's really liberating.
It is. Katie Hopkins, someone like that.
I had a good flick to her the other day. More opinions.
But
amazing.
Then I think it depends. Also, it depends on the individual, as all things, and your experience. I, you know, realised quite young that male attention was not something I was going to get a lot of.
That's
for the way I looked.
No.
And it's true. But I was like, but I am clever and I am funny, so I'll just do that. And then the ones that appreciate that, generally, you know, they'll rock up anyway, and then it'll all be fine. So yeah,
but we do.
I don't miss it. Do you know what I mean?
Cause I've
never had it. So I'm like, so that's interesting. That we've had a different experience.
Yeah, it is. And I don't know. There is just a sense of acceptance or feeling. I don't know. But what I was thinking as well is that has really helped me take ownership of my pleasure as well.
Right, okay,
because
great.
That's another side aspect of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want them to feel good, and it's all about performing for the other person, especially if it's a man. And, you know, what about me? So now it's my time. And I do feel like, finally, in my 40s, my kids are a little bit older, I'm like jetting off all over the... sorry, I sound like a proper twat now. But I am like going away at weekends and just having fun again. And I think I wasn't doing that before. I was either focused on my kids, focused on my career. and just not really living for me. So I'm doing that a lot more now, and which is great. I'm loving it.
Yeah, because we haven't mentioned that since we last saw you, of course, you have become separated. And
divorced.
And you're divorced now.
Woo-woo!
You have got divorced and you have got happy. But that was obviously a big change. And when did that happen? When did you separate?
Well,
from your
I feel age? Like such a lockdown cliche, but it did happen in lockdown. I don't know what the rate of divorces were, but in 2020, just as I was, again, another cliche, just as I was approaching 40, I was like, is this it? Is this it? And I was like, oh, I need to make some changes here. And my marriage was one of them.
And you were with your ex for many years, weren't you?
Since you were 16.
Wow.
Similar. You were 24 years and I was 22 years. And I interviewed Nat for my book. And one of the things that I wanted to raise in this podcast is that you were the one that decided to end the marriage. And when I became divorced, obviously it was because my husband had an affair, and I openly asked for help from friends. And so one of the things that you talked about in the book is that when you ended the marriage and you did it quite privately, people weren't coming around with lasagnas. People weren't sending, you know, bags of muffins and things like that. And I wanted you to talk about that, because we often hear about the stories of the shit marriages and the trauma and those sort of things. And then you think people rally around the woman. But for you, it wasn't the same.
No, I didn't get that same empathy, I think, or sympathy. I feel like because I was the one that made the decision, and he was the kind of heartbroken one who was on the floor, everyone rallied around him and was like, oh yeah, she's such a bitch for like wanting to end the marriage. And actually, you know, things just end. Actually, right. I don't know how I stayed in that relationship so long. I think 24 years is an fucking long time to be with one person.
Well, as my mother always says, Ellie, when marriage was invented, people were dead at 35.
Exactly.
You got married at 11 and then you died.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, a happier, simpler time, Mum. Let's go back to that.
You weren't going to Ibiza at 41. No, you weren't.
Hell no. So I think we just need to change the whole thinking around relationships, around marriage, and think that just because you want something different doesn't mean it's a bad thing. You can actually end a relationship, even if there is marriage and children involved, and you don't have to be the fucking the witch or the enemy.
No.
And I feel like we have come to quite a good ending of our marriage. He might have a different perspective on this.
Well, he's here tonight.
But we are very amicable.
Great.
We
can be in the same room.
We can be in the same room. We've gone to our friend's birthday both at the same time. Our kids, you know, we spend Christmas Day together.
That's really lovely.
Really good. And, you know, my whole thing was, the reason why I didn't want to, or the reason why it took so fucking long to make the decision to end it, was because I didn't want to fuck up the kids. And I think, you know, I'm trying to limit that as much as I can. Obviously, some people don't have an option, because sometimes their partners are just absolute twats. But I tried to keep it amicable, and we co-parent quite well. And I don't feel like a failure. That's the thing. I think that there's so much, like, negative talk around divorce. And actually, I feel like I have shown my children that I am willing to prioritise my happiness over staying in a long-term relationship because I feel obligated to.
Yeah.
Now, actually, no. They are much... I think maybe I am being narrow-sighted here. I think they're happier. I think he's happier. And I think, oh, well, I fucking know I'm happier.
Yeah.
But I think also huge credit to you for, again, and this is where your experience to Helen's is different, you were unhappy in the marriage, so you stood up for yourself and you were brave. That must have taken an enormous amount of courage to go, no, I do want to get out of this, and I know this is going to cause shit and it's going to hurt people, but in the long run, you know, whereas what happened to you, Helen, and I can not say this or cut this
out.
No,
you can say, because I've said it.
What happened to you was your partner wasn't happy in the marriage. So rather than standing up and saying that and saying, look, I'm leaving or let's deal with it or something, he went off and made a huge fucking mess with someone else. So he fucked up someone else's life and created this huge amount of hurt and betrayal and stress for you.
Yeah.
Which means, of course, it's difficult to have an amicable relationship because you wouldn't treat a friend like that.
No.
You wouldn't treat them. We've all had disagreements with friends.
Yeah.
And you're able to go, look, this has pissed me off, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you don't do what was done to you. And I just
And for me, because the affair my husband had was for 4 years, those 4 years are all murky now.
Trauma.
It's all trauma because all my reality changed. His hasn't changed because he knew what was going on.
Yes.
And I think that's the hardest thing to kind of rationalise, is this kind of going, oh, God, when I thought I was happy, I really, you know, I was happy with my career and with my children, with my friends, you know, large part of my world. But and then it sort of rocks the past, but it also affects the future because you're like, is that a real relationship? Is that person going to hurt me? So I think what you did was, yeah. And I remember sitting down when we did go through couples counselling. The couples counsellor said, look, whatever path you choose, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard if you stay together. It'd be hard if you separate.
Yeah.
There is no easy pathway out when you're feeling, you know, when there's a mess. And I think you can avoid things or you can confront them. And
how do you feel about the path you chose?
I'm very happy. I love my path.
Good. Because me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you feel, but if you ever think to what you could have decided to do, I feel caged again, because that's how I did feel in it, because I wasn't being able to be free, and that is exactly how I felt in my marriage. So now, yeah, I'm like a bird flying.
You are. Who knows what's next?
We do need to move on, just because I've got to call a lawyer. Anyway,
bullshit.
I actually thought you were being serious then. I didn't catch on to the joke. I was a bit late.
Well, there's a lot of it about, do you know what I mean?
Get divorced, be happy. Was that your book?
Yes, exactly right. Correct title.
That's it. There's a little bit about. The other day, my little seven-year-old had his little mate around. They're both as nuts as each other. And they were having a lying competition. So Joe goes to me, he's like, oh, mum, Auntie Jane's got rabies. And I was like, okay, cool. And then I sort of forgot about it. And a few minutes later, Kim, the other little guy, came in the kitchen and went, Ellie, my parents are getting divorced. And for a split second, I was like, oh my God. And he went, they told me just before I came here. And I was like, okay. I've spent too much time around divorced people that I now do completely believe that everybody I know is getting divorced.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Oh, it's good. But let's talk about the book then. So when did the idea, was that while you were in all this shit with the marriage, or was it once you got a bit clearer?
I have wanted to write a book for years and years and years. But I think, you know, what was holding me back is I didn't feel, in all honesty, I didn't feel intelligent enough. I have dyslexia. I've now found out ADHD. A book felt like too big a kind of task for me to cope with. And I was in an unhappy relationship. And now I've got more space in my life, and I've had a lot of therapy. I'm on medication, and I was able to concentrate and get shit done, basically. And that's what I did, because I have wanted to write it for a very, very long time.
So the medication for ADHD specifically.
Yeah.
So that means you can focus more, and then.
Yes.
Oh, that must be nice.
It is. It's like it used to be, like wading through shit, basically, trying to get anything done, like especially big projects. And I used to get so down on myself, have really bad, like, you know, you wouldn't think I had bad self-esteem or low self-esteem or anything, but I did feel unintelligent because I was sometimes unable to articulate very well. There's all this kind of like getting the cogs to turn was sometimes the difficult thing. And remembering stuff, remembering people's birthdays, remembering just to be in contact with friends meant my connections were not as good or as deep as they could be, as they are now. And it's just like revolutionised my life. Mm. I just feel like medication, I'm a very big supporter of, if you need medication, there's no shame in taking it or talking about it, because it has unlocked so much of my world. And I feel like I've got access to all of these things now and I can achieve things. So that's pretty big.
Like writing a whole bloody book, mate.
I know.
Awesome book. And so can you sort of, obviously the book from the title is about shedding sexual shame, but do you want to, it is a very, very personal book. Do you want to tell the listeners about how, about, I guess, the beginning of the book? I mean, it is a very confronting story, and how that sort of set you up with your relationship to sex and how you moved on from that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's a memoir, basically. It does also, I think it's also quite informative as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And people will, you know, resonate with it. Mm. But early on, I deal with the trauma that I experienced with somebody else. I'm not going to go into detail because everything had to be signed off by the other person, you know, and I feel like, yeah, that has to be done in a controlled environment.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did experience trauma at the age of 4, and that did shape my world and shaped my relationship with sex, because it was associated with trauma.
Mm.
And just how I, just my whole being, I guess, I felt very disconnected. And I think lots of people do, who go through any sort of trauma. I felt like I was in a bit of a freeze state for, you know, quite a long time. And the only way I could handle not processing it, not dealing with it, was to not feel any emotions. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I felt very, any lows or any highs, really.
Yeah.
And I really just struggled to connect with that side of myself. But since sort of, well, since writing the book, since going through the divorce, since having some serious deep psychotherapy, I now experience those highs and lows, which are good and bad. Mm. But, you know, sometimes it's like, fuck, like, you cry a lot now.
Yeah.
But actually, it's actually quite a nice feeling, isn't it? Like, crying is so releasing and cathartic.
Yeah.
And I never knew, because I was quite tightly coiled before. And now I feel a lot more relaxed and, yeah, just able to experience life, I think.
Yeah, so you've really, I mean, I don't want to use the phrase let go, but there was obviously so much you were holding on to because of the early, your early experiences. But I love that the book, that you've just got, some of the chapters are just called Masturbation. Orgasm. And so it's
no
very,
fucking about.
Oh, there's a lot of fucking about, it seems. But yeah, but I like the boldness of it, and I think what it kind of achieves in very successfully is just put it all out there in terms of it. I had a lot of sexual shame, and I'm still trying to shed it now. But you write about it so well, about how we were ingrained to be very quiet, very quiet about our sexual needs, and even liking sex or liking having sex by yourself.
Masturbation. Yes. don't say it too loud.
No, don't. No, that's the thing. And is that sort of what you wanted to achieve? Obviously, you wanted to get your story out, but you interview some very, very brilliant people who kind of unpack all that sort of bullshit that we've hung on to.
And that's it. The whole book was just, I'm going to fucking put it all out there. Mm. You can judge me if you want. But I now have no fear about, if I suddenly become very famous, no one can, like, release a story on me and go, oh, by the way, do you remember when I did that? Like, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all out there. No, I've got no shame anymore. And that feels so freeing and so glorious. Because a lot of people, like, it doesn't even matter if somebody did something to you. The secret and the kind of dirtiness that carries around with you is really hard to shed and unpack. But if you talk about it, what I hope is people will now understand that it's not as scary as it feels. You know, you can talk about the gremlin in the room, you can go there and you will survive.
Mm.
That's what I was hoping to sort of come to that people get across from it.
Okay. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about that came out of the book was porn, which I don't think I've seen porn for a very, very, very long time. And the last time I watched it was on VHS.
Oh my god! Now this is shocking.
Yeah, no, that's why I'm
as a sexually liberated divorced woman, fucking start watching some porn, girl.
This is what I wanted to talk to you about. I'm leaning in.
She's very comfortable.
She is squirming in her seat now.
I'm actually like curtailed.
It's like watching a Victorian gentleman look at some ankles.
I knew you used to be a little bit like a little bit. What's the word? Squeamish? Prudish. That's
prudish. Prudish.
But I thought you had kind of set yourself free from that now. I'm mistaken.
I'm reaching out, Natalie Lee. I'm reaching out.
Sorry for the judging.
It's an ongoing process.
Yes. But
I've got to look at her own vagina. That's a start.
That's
you know.
Good.
Oh, I've done it many times now.
I'm right
in there. What was going to say? But
porn.
I haven't watched any pornography.
I give you permission.
Thank you. Sorry, listener.
What kind of porn is it that you really want to watch, Helen?
No, where does I guess this is what I'm saying as a helpful thing for the listener. Where does one's hypothetically, if you haven't watched porn since 1997, where do you start, Natalie Lee?
Well, I mean, you start by buying my book, and I'll explain it. But
yes. I've read that chapter. I've underlined it.
Yes, but there is. I talk about ethical porn in mm-hmm. there. Some people like to call it feminist porn.
What, are they fucking on Hessian? Drinking almond milk.
It is porn that isn't made for the male gaze.
Okay.
So the one who I talk about, Erica Lust, she's a female director. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have interviews with the... Are they actors, performers, whatever they are? Mm-hmm. They have interviews, they talk about consent, you know, it's very...
And they're paid properly.
Paid properly, yeah. And that's why that's why it is important to pay for your porn, because you know that money is going to the people who are doing the porn.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So it's like buying organic steaks, basically.
Oh, is this like Waitrose porn? That's what I want.
Is this organic, this pornography?
Listen.
Is it fair trade?
It is not a posh thing. You like? Would you say that going to a prostitute was a posh thing? No.
No.
Or sex work? Whatever you want to call it. Mm. I think it's important to normalise paying our sex workers for the job that they do.
Mm-hmm.
So don't shit on that, please, Ellie.
What? You for
know
money?
I love shitting on.
Is that a Waitrose thing?
Do you want a glass coffee table, 50 quid? I'll be honest with you, I haven't... I don't want to.
What is she going to say now?
I could look into ethical porn, but I suppose I've been put off because I have seen pornography in more recent years. My point is, whenever you look at those websites, like you say, it is all about the male gaze. And beyond that, you really don't have to go very far before it's all about teens or strangling.
Yeah,
or
that's your...
anal. And it's all, you know, we've had people on the podcast before, we've talked about it's giving boys and girls the wrong idea about sex, about you've got to have a shaved fanny and you've got to like it up the arse and you've got to come four times otherwise.
What, you don't?
No, that's not
on a tick list. No.
Okay, fine. That's they're the ones that you don't pay for, like YouPorn and Pornhub, I don't know all of them, but they're all owned by the same conglomerate. And that type of porn is not the kind of porn that I want to be promoting. The kind of porn that I mention in the book, you know, you see all different shapes and sizes, you see all different races, so it doesn't feel exclusive and it doesn't feel like they're being taken advantage of, or you don't know. You know, I always felt a bit dirty after watching that kind of porn that you described, because it felt icky, like I don't really know if
and
they're
violent as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a nice feeling, and that only, you know, makes you feel shameful about what you're doing, and I don't want to feel like that. But there are other options out there that feel good, and that you will see people represented that look like you. So that's
well, yes, for me, it's like you say, it's about the exploitation in the same way that I always feel slightly guilty buying something from Primark, because I think, well, you know, God, which child on the other side of the world has made this really quite excellent pair of shoes, but which child has made this pair of shoes, you know what I mean? And I often feel that, you know, when I have seen porn, I've gone, yeah, but what's that woman's life like that she's got to this place in it, you know? And I know lots of performers say that it's a choice and it's, you know...
And it's liberating.
I've also read lots of horror stories, so it's difficult. Mm. But and you don't feel that ethical porn is exploitative?
I don't, because I have interviewed people who make it. I have looked into it. From what I can tell, I don't. But, you know, I'm not an expert on this. Mm. It just feels like a better choice for me. Mm.
Good. I'll give it a go.
I would love to see your history.
I've got no desire to.
Nice man plays the piano and then makes me dinner.
Yeah. The reason why
takes
I'm
the lint drawer out of the tumble dryer.
Oh yes. That'll do it now.
Yeah.
And then I'm done.
Quick, both sides. Pisses off.
Some ice cream, please. And then.
Because since the book has come out, like, I've had quite a lot of DMs and people saying, you know, I really want to watch lesbian porn, but I feel bad for doing it. I'm in a long-term marriage with a man, and I'm like, go ahead, man. Like, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to. Mm. It does almost feel like I'm kind of giving people permission now to look at what floats their boat.
Mm. Yeah, and why not? Mm. I mean, I really like Top Gun. I don't want to be a fighter pilot. You know what I mean?
Or marry Tom Cruise.
Well, I wouldn't get that. I don't know if I'd get that. Oh.
Since going on, have you done much dating since becoming single?
Oh, God, it's such a tricky one.
Do you mean
one.
Dating in the sense that you mean the word dating?
Yeah, as in fucking?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I'm with my eyes, but not with my words.
Oh, I went on a date last night, Ellie. Oh, did you? Oh. Where did you go? Just my house. That's not a date.
And it was only an hour.
Yeah, that's not a date.
90 minutes, thank you.
I am not doing as well on that front as you.
I don't think anyone is still.
No. I still have some, I don't know what it is, kind of like trust issues maybe, or being vulnerable with people in that way, I still find very difficult.
Yeah.
I know I've just written a whole book on sex and this is not what you're probably wanting to hear, but I know my boundaries. Mm. I know my limitations. And I just feel like I have to tread carefully in that way. And I have had lots of sex. Mostly, I would say, with women now, because that feels safer for me.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
You mean emotionally safer or physically or both?
Both, I think. Mm. Both, I think. Not being in a long-term relationship kind of, it felt, whilst it did feel freeing and wonderful, it also felt a bit scary.
Yeah.
And I was like out there in this world and, you know, I'm going to get hunted down, which has not happened. But I feel like I'm definitely exploring the kind of side of myself that I wasn't able to explore in a marriage. Mm. So I am having good lots. No, I wouldn't say lots. I'm having sex.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And again, hypothetically, if you haven't had sex with a woman for a very long time,
where are the holes again?
Is that, because I know from friends who've been married for a long time and then they've gone and dated women, but it is a tricky thing to navigate.
It's a different ball game.
I'm just going
to
ignore
that. Lot to get
that.
Your hands around, your head around. You know, was that you have to find a partner who, you know, obviously slightly different equipment you're dealing with.
What are you asking? Get to the point.
Was it a difficult leap?
Should she have it off with a lady? That's what she's saying.
Yeah, go for it.
Right.
Like, just explore.
And should you be upfront saying, look, I really, you know, I don't have my licence. I don't know how to drive a car.
Yes, absolutely. Where do I put my
head? Dabbled at university.
I've dabbled, not since university.
But also, you've got one, haven't you? So you know roughly.
Yes.
How it works. Things are.
What I was surprised about is how natural and wonderful and amazing it did feel.
Oh, good. Very nice.
Didn't miss a penis. You know, but there are implements that...
There's a whole yeah. wealth of equipment out there.
Yeah, yeah. And they don't have a pulse, so they're even better, you know, than the real thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was just... It's just lovely, and I love just exploring. This is the whole point.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, trying new things and actually realising that it's not weird or... that different you know, I now view myself as pansexual. It doesn't really matter to me what gender they are, what's between their legs. If we have a connection, I just feel like why not fucking explore it?
That's marvelous. Excellent.
But you're safe. Is that if that's what you want, if that's what you want to hear, I'm not going to leap on you and start having sex with you. You are safe.
Well, anyway, as I say, I've got to go. A waste of time.
I've got my friend here.
Is there anything you know now, having been on this, I'm going to say journey, there's obviously lots of advice in the book, and there's a lot, you talk a lot about your experiences, obviously that's what the book is, but is there anything you kind of wish you'd known at the start of all this that might have saved you some time or some heartache, or, you know, or do you think it's all been just beneficial?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely nothing I regret. I think I probably would say I wish I knew the divorce wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I know that's not everyone's experience, but I wish
it is some people's experience. Yeah. We don't, like you say, we don't always hear that.
The kind of positive divorce stories. I think it's just like, I grappled, is it? Is that a word?
Yeah.
Grappled. I grappled with the word selfish for a very, very long time, and that stopped me making any decisions for a long time. And I kind of feel like I wish that wasn't imposed. I think for women especially, like, we have this kind of, the best trait for a woman is to be selfless. And I feel like it's so glorified. And, you know, all these fucking Mother's Day tributes to these selfless mothers who gave up everything for their children. Fuck that shit. Like, who wants a mother who doesn't have their own life, who doesn't speak up, who doesn't know how to fucking live and just look? Now I feel a bit bad that I'm being bad on the women that do. But I want to live. I am a human being, and... yes, I did have children, and I support them and try and give them as much as I can, but I'm not going to fucking stop living and just do everything for them. Now I don't know where I started.
No,
do you know what I mean?
No. But that takes time, and also I think for a lot of us, when we have children, we just lose who we are.
We do.
It's a shock.
All encompassing.
It's a real shock. And also, you're completely in love with that baby, and you think, I will do anything for that child. And it does take it until they get a bit older, until you have a bit of freedom. But also, you know, if you're lucky enough to have a bit of extra time, money, and all those are the things that allow you to have that life outside of your own house. But I know what you mean. Like, you know, the whole sort of doormat and, you know, sacrificial mother thing has been lauded for many, many, many times. And like, oh God, that mum's going out again. It's like, well, she's allowed to. She's allowed to have fun. Yeah.
And she's, yeah. And I mean, I think it's the same with like work and career, and any kind of successful mum does get judged more harshly than if it was the dad. And it's like, so who's looking after the children then? Oh, fuck off. Like, I'm allowed to have a career and not be asked about that. But so that kind of whole guilt-tripping thing that we get, I think, stopped me for a long time making important decisions for myself that also affected other people.
Well, there we go. Helen Thorne's next book, Get Divorced, Have a Wank, Look at Some Porn and Snog a Lady, will be out in the autumn. Tiny ripped off.
I'm glad I gave you some more content.
Oh, thank you. No, you've given me a new list of things to achieve. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Natalie.
My pleasure.
Shall we have a scummy?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mummy confession.
Let us do that, Ellie.
Yes. Excellent. I mean, I've got a sexy one. That's
Yes, go. She's always at it.
Oh, mate. This is bad.
Oh, good. I like it when it's bad.
I don't like to talk about it, but I have had my kitchen renovated, Natalie. I've had my kitchen done, and it's nearly there now. We're just waiting for the... This isn't the sexy bit, by the way.
Right, okay.
Oh, my
God, I thought you were setting a scene, and then the kitchen man came in.
Oh, not the kitchen man, no. We're still waiting for the windows, but the units are in, the lovely marble worked... Mm-hmm. Marble effect. The marble effect worked.
Marble-like.
In.
It looks like marble. I can't believe it's not marble.
It's marvellous. It's a modern marble. So Sunday we had a lovely shared birthday party with our boys at Mamado Pizza Restaurant in Honor Oak. Highly recommend it if you're around it. Gorgeous pizza, lovely party. And you know, we had a few Aperols, we had a few wines, and we got home and the kids were knackered. So you know, they were on the sofa with their headphones. We heard him turning the kitchen door handle, which we had shut, going, and we were just testing the worktops, Natalie. We were just making sure that
the who was sitting on the worktop, Ellie? Describe the scene as you would say. No, okay, fine, all right.
But, how long have you two been together?
We've been together since 1849.
I'm very fucking impressed that you're like having sex on these new worktops.
Natalie, I cannot
tell you. Who does that after that long?
How much this new kitchen turns me on. Okay. So yes. So let's just say, luckily there was a bit of the door's quite fiddly to open.
Oh, so you could pull down the skirt.
Our poor son, I won't say which one it was, I shan't embarrass him, but he came in to find his father and I just standing in the kitchen holding our clothes over ourselves.
Oh!
Luckily, he did not see it going in and out. He didn't see the fork banana, but he just looked at us and like, what? And he literally just shook his head and like walked away. I had to go and apologise. We won't do that.
Yeah, you will.
I'm not proud of it, genuinely, that they were awake. But he had his headphones. And fuck me, right? When he's got his headphones on, he's watching.
It's natural.
This is what I said to Pete. I said, look, it's not the end of the world for him to get the model, to get the message that grown-up people, even parents, still have it off. And sometimes they do that in the middle of the day in a different room of the house.
I think it's beautiful, personally. Right.
But fuck me, you try and get that child's attention because he needs to tidy his room or come and have his dinner when he's got those fucking headphones on. You'd think he'd gone deaf, honestly. You'd be like, what the fuck? But suddenly, he's like a shark. Do sharks have ears? You know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm thinking about sharks and blood in the
water.
Bat,
yes, maybe.
He's like a bat.
Yes.
Bat
my
child.
Son, the bat.
You know what? You know, to get his attention now in the future, all you need to do is go, do you remember that time when you walked in?
It was, yeah, I'm conflicted about it. Like you say, I don't think it's the end of the world for him to get that message. I'm also, I feel a bit bad.
No, don't feel bad. How the fuck does he think he was brought into the world?
Everyone's been caught having sex before, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is the new kitchen's looking lovely and those worktops really are very sturdy.
So 10 out of 10. Marble effect works then, it does. Yeah, you'd recommend it.
That's what we're going to call it from now on. Do you fancy a bit of marble effects?
Oh, marble.
Thorn, do you have a scummy confession, sexual or otherwise?
I have a confidence one. When I was in New York, I felt really great. I've recently lost some weight. I felt really confident. I thought my body looked great. And I've got these really super duper skinny jeans, and I loved it. And I was wearing a crop top, and I was like, right, I'm being confident. I'm just going to walk down the streets of New York. So I got up early one morning, and I was walking up, and I went and got like a delicious breakfast, and I was by myself, and I thought, yes, I'm confident, I'm happy by myself. Strutting down this road, I see like lots of young men, give them little eyebrows, you know, little shoulder shimmies, all sorts of things. I'm just feeling really fucking hot, right? Really hot. I get back to my hotel, and then the woman at the front desk goes, hey honey, your flight's undone. And it was like not undone a little bit, like a big gaping hole so you could see my knickers. And I had my crop top, and I'd just been strutting my stuff, you know, like, and I thought, oh well, I had a lovely time.
You did. And shame on them for not telling you. I will always stop someone and say, by the way, you've got bogey.
Yeah,
you know,
all green in your teeth. That, yeah, I would be humiliated.
I always have stuff in my teeth. Do I now?
No,
don't know. Good, thanks.
That's fine.
Okay,
but your left tit's hanging out.
I mean, really. Yeah, that's on purpose, babe. It's called side boob, bitch.
Oh, Pete loves a bit of side boob.
You like to get boob by the sound of it. Side, front, back.
Tell
all
him
the
I don't do marble effect. I only do marble. Sorry.
Natalie,
red wine stains out and other stains. Anyway, there we are. Natalie Lee, do you have a confession?
Do I have a confession? Well, I think since being single, I am just a bit lazier about my like general hygiene. First of all, sometimes I don't brush my teeth till like 6 o'clock in the
your body,
evening.
Your body, your choice, babes. Your body,
yeah,
your choice.
Thanks.
I'm struggling with that one.
I know.
And
that makes me feel funny. I can read about you talking about wanking all day, but not brushing your teeth. Oh, I'm clenching.
Oh. Also, I've decided, as you can probably see, to go all natural, and I don't shave anymore, which is...
That's awesome.
Which is great and very freeing.
Mm, yeah.
And I like, why am I doing it? I don't need to do that anymore.
That doesn't bother me at all, you see.
No?
My teeth, that's my nine. Sorry,
that's
carry on.
That's because
not
you've got braces
me.
And I think you've got a thing about it, huh?
No.
She's funny about it.
Do you not get bad
I
breath?
Did brush my teeth this morning.
Yes, I've not noticed an odour.
This is only when I'm like in the house and I'm like hyper focusing on work or something. Maybe, possibly.
As she says, your mouth, your choice, you fucking scumbag.
But I think my personal hygiene has definitely gone down since being single. But one of the things I find really annoying to do now is when I go to the toilet,
yeah,
I have a problem with pulling down my knickers.
Yeah. What do you mean?
What, you don't go far
right,
enough?
Okay, so... Let me explain. So, as you can see, I like wearing bodies lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're a pain in the ass to go to the toilet with.
Right, they, the poppers,
and so now,
yeah.
Well, no, mine don't have poppers.
Right.
Oh, so you're like a swimsuit?
Yeah.
So you get fully in the nude, in the nip?
Well, no, I don't. That's
or do
the
you
whole
just
point.
Pull aside.
So now, since I've been wearing a lot of bodies, I just pull aside, go for a wee, and I'm like, oh, this is fucking brilliant. Why the fuck have I been pulling down my knickers all these years? Just pull it to the side. I do that a lot now. So that's my scummy confession.
Oh, good for you.
Thank you.
If I'm in my swimmers and I need a wee at the gym, I'll pull it to one
but
side.
But you don't even...
But I told Helen to do that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So it's about angles, people. So we had a very long lunch. I had about the usual bottle and a half of white wine. And then I was meant to have a massage, right? And I was late to the massage. And I said, oh, I've got to have a wee. And I was wearing my swimmers because I was in a day spa. Anyway, I was like, be more Ellie. So I pulled the swimmers across, but I somehow tilted my pelvis up. And so the wee didn't go into the loo. It just went up and over and onto the pile of towels.
Oh, no.
So I pissed on towels. And then there was only a curtain between me and the masseuse. And so I had to like fumble up the towels and put them in
God.
The... After I pissed all over the towels.
And they probably knew.
Everybody knew. I'm sure everyone knew.
Maybe they just thought... that you weren't how you appeared and maybe you didn't have a vagina.
What, she had a blowhole
maybe you were just... No, a penis.
Oh, right, okay.
That was back in the day when I actually had bosoms.
Right, okay, yeah, so you didn't think... Well, yeah, so that is basically mine. I probably have a bit more of a disco fanny than I have ever had in my whole life. I mean, that Sounds appealing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone wants to fucking date me now. I'm available if you need
me.
She's
on Hinge.
If you like a vagina that smells of urine, then I'm your girl. Yeah.
If you like unbrushed teeth.
I'm such a catch.
she's got lovely bosoms.
I do.
Should we just do a quick... So we're going to say, buy your wonderful book called Feeling Myself.
Thank
available
you.
Now in hardcover. And also, you're wearing a new thing that's going to be available as well.
I am. Yeah, this is my new collaboration with Half Baked London.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the colours of my book, in case you didn't notice. It's a body. And it's very stretchable. So when you go to the toilet, you can pull it aside.
Just piss through it. Just have no standards.
Yeah, it's a body or a swimming costume. But
Well, Natalie, it's always lovely to see you. Thank you very much for coming and sharing your truth.
Thank you for, helping me on my journey for all the things.
Thank you for saying I had nice tits.
It's true. It is
absolutely,
true.
100%.
I think, you know what? What's been kind of nice, I don't know if that's the right word, but Helen, we've been kind of going through this journey together in tandem, kind of. Yeah. I think you started before me. But it is helpful to know someone who is going through a divorce at times, just knowing that they're there. And if you need to pick up the phone, you can.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it is a bit lonely sometimes and hard.
It is. And I think there's the... I'm very keen and very conscious about saying about the positive sides of it. But there are daily... You still have to have a relationship with your ex. You're still, you know, constantly juggling all that sort of thing. But I wouldn't change it for the world. I adore being single. Mm. And, like, when I went to New York a couple of weeks ago, I walked down the street and I was by myself. And I couldn't want for anything else. I just thought...
That feeling.
I feel... peace, and I feel happiness, and I love my friends, and you know, all that sort of stuff. And it was a great feeling to feel. I paid for this trip all by myself. I made this happen.
It's that contentment, I think. I mean, Ellie, you're like, fuck your life right now. I'm joking.
I never have that feeling. Cool.
No,
I'm joking, because there are really good relationships out there.
I reckon in the next year, maybe two, it'd be nice to have someone.
Yes.
I would like to say I love you to someone and mean it. That, you know, but I do that on a daily basis to my friends and my children anyway.
Yeah.
But it'd be nice to do it. But I don't think I'm missing out on anything.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Me neither. Being single's pretty fucking awesome.
Mm.
I like it.
Yeah, but you know, I'd love to bang someone on Ellie's kitchen. Maybe not Ellie's husband. Maybe when she's out. If you just let me know when you're on holidays, then I'll
no problem. I leave some keys. You water the plants while you're doing it, in fact, at the same time. Multitasking.
Yeah, always multitasking. Yeah, then, great.
Oh, fantastic.
We'll all be feeling ourselves a lot better.
We will.
Yeah, good.
Anyway, admin time, everyone's favourite part of the podcast. Come and see us in Edinburgh. We're there from the 18th to the 27th of August.
We are, and we are up and down the country. More and more dates are being added as we speak. And subscribe to the podcast. We haven't said that for a long time, actually. Also, I'm running the marathon on the 2nd of October. Please sponsor me. I'm running for a single parent charity who helps single parents out. And Natalie, anything else? How do we follow you?
At Style Me Sunday. Yeah, still occasionally, very rarely talk about fashion or just pose in
dresses. Well, you know,
dresses.
She rebranded as It's Me, Helen Thorne.
Well, she had to, didn't she? You're not a size 18 anymore, are you, love?
No, exactly.
You could go from Style Me Sunday to Fuck Me Sideways. If you want a workshop.
Fuck me in my bodysuit.
I feel like, what was the term? Shoggers.
Shoggers.
I feel like Shogger Me Quick is what I'm going to be told. Looking at next. No. Yeah.
15%, please.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Like, I don't know how I fucking stayed in one relationship for so long.
Ah, the old coffee machine, our old friend.
Every time.
That is the coffee machine, not one of your intimate machines. Is
no,
it?
No, 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 no. One of your... No, the others are on the charge, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.